In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, says, "First of all then, I urge that supplication, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone." This is a season that we all think of thanksgiving and giving thanks. For many, especially in the United States, when we think of Thanksgiving, we think of turkey and dressing and all the trimmings. And many think of that first Thanksgiving when our forefathers celebrated the discovery of this new world. As I pointed out last week, it's impossible for us to pray without being thankful. Prayer and thanksgiving just go hand in hand. It's meshed together. But I want us to focus this morning on a young woman named Hannah. So you tell Hannah when you see her, Carol, that I preached about her today. In order for us to understand Hannah's situation, we must be aware of her background and her environment and the things that were going on in her life. Hannah was an ordinary housewife, but her circumstances were totally different than a lot of housewives, because her husband had two wives. Back in Bible days, it was a common thing to have more than one wife. And Hannah's husband had two. But there was a little difference there. Let's look at some other things that were influences in Hannah's life and the things that was going on around her. One of the first things I want us to notice is that the priesthood was corrupt. The district superintendent appointed a bad preacher for them. Now, Levi was a good guy, but he had two of the meanest, most wicked, evil sons that anybody could ever have. And although Eli was a godly man, and he was the high priest in the temple, I'm sure that if you're a parent, you figured out that when you can't control what your grown children do. When they get that certain age, you can't make them go sit in the corner, you can't put them in time out, or you can't spank them. Although you would love to do all of the above. But Eli had two sons that he could do nothing with. So he just kind of ignored their behavior. The pressure of powerful enemies placed Israel in constant danger of being attacked by the Philistines, and even worse, being attacked by the people of Canaan, which had a powerful, humongous army. So that was another cause for a problem in Hannah's environment. And then there was the scarcity of prophetic revelation. God had been speaking His word through the prophets, and now all of a sudden that wasn't happening. They were not getting fed in their services. They had I think I've heard people talk about it, and even the Apostle Paul talked about it, about people having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. So these people, during this period of time, during Hannah's day, they were going to church, but they wouldn't get anything out of going. They may as well have stayed at home. But it was a tradition, so they continued to do what they had done all of their life. They got up and they went to the temple to worship. And then there was also a lack of political unity in Israel. Was divided into, like we have Florida, divided into counties. And this little county over here was concerned with what went right on in Leon County. This little county over here was concerned only with Gadsden County or some other county in the state of Florida. But they were concerned about what was happening on their own doorstep. They were not going to get involved in what was going on around them. So there was dissent. They couldn't reach on an agreement about anything because it's like a lot of people today. You see people doing things and they say, what's in it for me? What about me? What will I get out of it? They have no vision and they have no outreach. So let's take a closer look at Hannah. In 1 Samuel, the first chapter, it says that Hannah was childless. She didn't have any children. She couldn't have any children. Then her husband, Elkanah, had another wife named Peninnah. And this woman had a house full of young'uns. And she loved to taunt Hannah and tell her, where's your young'uns? It made it appear that she was better than Hannah because she had all of these children. And actually, it made her mean because she was not caring and respectful. She delighted in taunting Hannah about being barren. She made Hannah's life miserable. And we see Elkanah and his two wives, they're going to offer sacrifices in the temple. And what should be a time of happiness and thanksgiving turns into a total nightmare for Hannah. And we see Hannah and she goes into the temple and she's kind of lingering toward the back. And she's crying, and she's praying, and her lips is moving, but there's no sound coming out of her mouth. Well, Eli, the high priest, sees her. And when he sees her, and her lips are moving, and there's no sound coming out, he thinks she's drunk. She's been sipping again. And he goes over and he rebukes her. And she says, my Lord, I have not drank any wine. I've not had any intoxicating beverage. I'm not drunk, but I'm pouring my soul and my heart out to God because my heart is so heavy. I am so burdened. Then Eli answered and he says, go in peace and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him. So when Hannah left the temple, she was no longer sad. She had found the joy of her salvation. Her faith had been restored. And God had heard Hannah's prayer. He heard her petition. God had heard and seen her tears as they streamed down her face. And God cared about what was happening to her. God heard Hannah's prayer, and in due time, she, Hannah, this childless, this barren woman, had a son, and she named this son Samuel. And when Samuel was old enough to leave his mother, Hannah took him to the temple, and she told Eli, the high priest, for this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted my petition. Therefore, I have led him to the Lord, and as long as he lives, he is given to the Lord. That brings us to our scripture today in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. This is called Hannah's Psalm or Hannah's Song. That's 1 Samuel chapter 2. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord, my strength is exalted in my God. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in my victory. There is no holy one like the Lord, no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly, and let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who are full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who are hungry are fat with spoil. The barren has borne 7, but she who had many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low, he also exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap, and to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guide the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might does one prevail. The Lord, his adversaries, shall be shattered. The Most High will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our text is called Hannah's Song, or Hannah's Prayer of Thanksgiving. And when we pray with sincerity like Hannah did, our prayers will be answered. Amen. And as I have pointed out sometimes, the answer may be no. The answer may be wait. But our prayers will be answered when we pray with the sincerity that Hannah had prayed with. One of my favorite verses is back in chapter 1, verse 12. It says, "And it came to pass." She continued to pray. It says, "And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord." This woman was persistent. She didn't let up. She didn't let anything. She didn't let her wife-in-law over here, her husband's other wife, she didn't let what she was saying hinder her from praying. She poured her heart and her soul out to God, and God answered her prayer. It came to pass. For Hannah, there was no giving up. She purposed in her heart that if the Lord would in his mercy roll that burden away, roll that stone in her life away, roll away her reproach, that she would consecrate this gift, this child, to the Lord. How many people can you think of that when they found out that they were going to have a child, said, "Lord, I give this baby to you now while it's still in the womb. Lord, this is a gift from you. I want to raise this child up to love and to serve you and to worship you." You know, our world might be a lot better place to live in if a lot of people, if all parents did that, dedicated their children to Christ before they're ever born. Hannah was sincere. She said, "Lord, if you would just give me this child, I'll give him back to you all the days of his life." And I can imagine that it was probably one of the hardest things that she ever did, because she had had that child approximately 3 years before she took him back to the temple and said, okay, Eli, here he is. This is the answer to that prayer that I was praying in the temple that day when you thought I was drunk. This is what I was praying for. And I promised God that if he would give me this child, that I would give him back to you. So here he is. He shall live in the temple with you all the days of his life. And I can imagine that her soul was probably crushed as she gave that child to Eli, and she had to turn around and walk away from him. There was a maternal sadness. But don't you know that her heart was filled with joy that she had done the right thing? That she had kept her part of that bargain? Because God kept his part. He gave her that child. And she gave that child back to him. How many times do we have to give our children and our grandchildren to the Lord? Because we don't know what to do. We are human beings. And our best efforts are not good enough. They need the divine guidance of the Holy Spirit. They need to be brought up in the church, in the love and the admonition of Christ. That's what our children need. We look around us and we see the state that our world is in, the state that our economy is in, that our government is in. We look at the things that have happened in Paris this weekend. And it scares the daylights out of us. But there is an answer. If we fervently pray with that same determination that Hannah prayed with, God will hear from heaven. Remember last week I quoted that scriptures from Colossians about, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. God is in the healing business, not just for our country and our nations, but he is in a healing business for our spiritual needs. In Hannah's Psalm of Praise, there are a number of features that are worth noting. One, Hannah's prayer is a psalm. A number of translations of the Bible indicate this by the way they format the text. It looks like a psalm, and it is a psalm because it employs parallelism and symbolism. Hannah's prayer is a psalm, and a psalm is a prayer of praise and thanksgiving. Hannah's psalm is the outgrowth of her own experiences. This scripture is produced by the Holy Spirit through humans with their own background, their own experiences, their individual personalities. And yet it is in a way that accurately and without error conveys the very words of God. We should not overlook that while Hannah's psalm is an expression of great joy and praise, it is offered at the same time that she has to leave that son behind. Never again to have that child in her home. Never again to go in and to tuck the sheets around him at night and say, good night, son, I love you. She had done that for 3 years. And now it wasn't happening anymore. But she expresses her joy and her gratitude to God for Samuel, who was the answer to her prayers. God's faithfulness in the past is her assurance of his faithfulness in the future. And because of this, she can give this child totally to God. You know, God's been faithful to us today. He's been faithful in our past. And we have the blessed assurance that he will be faithful in our future. This story of Hannah is a picture of the way that God brings about his blessings and the way that he manifests his grace in the midst of our sorrow, our sufferings, and our human weakness. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:10 tells us, "Therefore, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Do you love God this morning? Are you one of God's children by faith? Faith in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to take your place for the forgiveness of sins. God is faithful to forgive us when we ask. This is the good news of the gospel. Those who joyfully embrace the good news of the gospel know that they are helplessly and hopelessly lost in their sins. Worthy not only of God's eternal wrath, but yet we can rejoice in the fact that there's nothing that we can do that will earn us God's salvation or his grace or anything that Christ has done for us. We can't earn it. But we can gratefully receive the forgiveness of sins and the gifts of righteousness and of everlasting life.